Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome to another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte, and this week we're talking about poems to do with movies. It's always interesting to look at how one form of art explores another, and I think like there's a lot of spaces that wouldn't consider either movies or poetry art because they think of art as like just physical medium or, you know, something along those lines. But I think like looking at the way the two talk about each other is really interesting. But this is a poetry podcast, so I won't talk about movies. I'll talk about poems to do with movies instead. Okay, so our first poem is An Unmarried Woman by Denise Duhamel. When I first saw it, I was a high school junior. Jill Clayburgh was scandalous, ballet dancing in her t-shirt and panties, showing her teenage daughter a wet spot on the bed after she'd made love to her husband, the girl's father. I was fascinated by Clayburgh's lip gloss and feathered hair. I had a fair isle sweater just like hers and wanted the crazy cape in which she wrapped her new lover on a cobblestone street in New York. I didn't understand then, of course, that I would someday be divorced after 16 years of marriage, just like her character, throwing up on a sidewalk just like she did, jittery in a therapist's office, having an awful blind date, eating dim sum with a stranger who would try to kiss her in a cab. Instead of pirouetting to Swan Lake, I jumped around the apartment singing, along with Pink and Beyoncé. Back then, in 1978, I didn't quite get betrayal's depths. I just liked Jill's outfits, the skirt and tank in the final scene that reminds me now of Sarah Jessica Parker's ensemble in the opening credits of Sex and the City. When her artist lover gives Jill a giant painting as he heads off to Vermont for the summer, and she carries it through Soho, fumbling and twisting in the wind, you can't help but root for her, just as I am rooting for myself, watching this movie again on DVD 30 years later, part of my post-divorce Netflix recovery. Jill is in the obituaries. Breast cancer, chronic lymphocytic leukemia. How can that be? She looks so young and fresh as she ice skates with her pals, runs along the East River where her husband steps in dog shit and blames her. When I first saw An Unmarried Woman, I went with my friend, and if I remember correctly, we were freaked out by the sex scenes and barely acknowledged Jill's bland teenage daughter, who would have been about our age. Afterwards, at Friendly's, we talked about the pickled herring arc. Jill's lover tells the story about how his mother threw a jar towards his father's head, and how, as he watched the fish smash against the wall, he decided to become an abstract painter. Towards the end of the movie, the lover himself lobs a jar at Jill when she doesn't do what he wants. My friend told me her mother hurled a bottle of applesauce at her father, and when she missed, the stuff ruined the wallpaper. That was just marriage, we guessed, sipping our frappes. We put our hands over our hearts and pledged we'd never wed, even as the cute boys came in, crowding into a booth across from us. We blushed and giggled despite ourselves. Adults, we agreed, were crazy. We wanted no part of their messes. I love the way in which this poem relates the experience of a movie to the experience of a life lived, and especially like that retroactive thing of I watched this movie as a kid and now it makes sense to me only as I'm an adult. That's such an interesting like thing that I think a lot of people have experienced but doesn't get talked about a lot. And the idea of going back and watching a movie that as a kid you didn't fully understand because, you know, you didn't have the life experience that it was talking about, that it was conveying. But, like, there are plenty of movies we watch growing up that don't make as much meaning within us as they would to our parents or to us when we rewatch them when we're grown. And I think the, like, the way it talks about, like, the elements about, like, the way that they as teenagers felt about sex and, like, the way that they felt about being married. They were like, we're never going to get married, but also, like, these boys are cute. And, like, the thing of them making that promise but knowing that the character who is the narrator breaks it because she's divorced, it's just such an interesting like play around with it. And I just, yeah, this poem's really fun. Okay, so the next poem is Upon the Actor's Longing for the Alienation Effect by Haji Kavari, translated by Roger Sadarat. Though larger than life, the actor lived in fear and trembling behind the literal screen, cutting a sliver into the white square to watch the public watching him in the debut of his new film. Unknowingly, he looked at times through his own eye, like a painting in a haunted house without its power of the gaze. Reactions to his acting, owning his sense of self. If they laughed or cried on cue, he still doubted his value, longing to tear the screen away and risk approval beyond performance of his overpaid identity. What I like about this poem is that often when we're talking about movies, we're talking about the impact that it has on the audience. But this look into, like, this is what the actor's life is, like, to be constantly subject to the approval of others and, like, living in a world where your sense of self is determined by the value others see in your performance and not actually in the real version of you is such an interesting thing to look at. And not something that I consider a lot when I watch movies, is like people being paid to be judged. I mean, they're being paid to act, really, but like part of performing for an audience is subjecting yourself to being seen. And it's not actually really being seen because it's all a performance, it's all an act, but like the value of that act is not determined by you or by people who like are trained in that act. It's determined by people who, you know, sit and watch. And it's such an interesting thing that I'd not thought about a lot before. Like, I'd considered it, but like this sort of more in-depth look into it it makes it an interesting poem to me. That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks all for joining me. I found some fun poems with this one. There was loads of fun ones that I didn't like put in the episode, like one about the Hulk. Anyway, next week's episode is going to be about games, poems about games. I've done one on music, I've done one on movies, I'm doing one on games. Maybe I'll eventually do one on books, that could be fun. But yeah, so I'll see you there. Bye.